Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 20 through the end of the chapter, verse 27. Have here an exhortation in these verses to give some attention, to give attention to some things, and wisdom will lead us to do that. But in verse 20 he says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not," the them referring back to my words and my sayings, "let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they," that is my words and my sayings, "are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." In verse 20, there is an exhortation to give attention to sound instruction, and that sound instruction is defined by two phrases, "my words and my sayings." We see there in verse 20, we're to attend to my words. In our case, it would be the words of the Lord. "And incline thine ear," which shows a desire to hear. "Incline thine ear unto my sayings." And then he describes this giving attention to this instruction in verse 21. There's two parts to it. It says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes." That is, always keep before you the instruction of God. Always keep before you the teachings of the Lord. Never forget them. Never let them out of your sight, no matter what you're doing, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in. Always keep the instruction of God in plain view. And then it says, "and keep them in the midst of thine heart." So this is more than just a superficial acquaintance with the Word of God. We're to have them in our heart, because that's the only place that it will be truly operative in our life, is if we have these instructions in our heart. And then to encourage us to do this, to encourage us to give attention and to always have these things before us and to have them in our heart, he says two things in verse 22. He says, "For they," my words and my sayings, "are life." That is, they are the means of maintaining spiritual life. If you want to live an abundant life, if you want to maintain spiritual life, you have to give attention to the Word of God. You cannot maintain a spiritual living by neglecting the Word of God, by disregarding the Word of God. You have to hear the Word of God, and by doing so, these give life unto us, or are means of maintaining spiritual life. And then notice what it says, "and they're also health to your flesh," or medicine to your flesh. So the teachings of God, the teachings of wisdom, the teachings of God's Word are like medicine. Medicine will make you better when you're sick, and these instructions from God, these teachings from God, will make you better. When you begin to feel sick spiritually, these things will make you better. But it'll also prevent sickness. It'll also prevent certain diseases. And as long as you always keep the words in front of you and you keep the Word in your heart, you're never going to go too far astray. Because these words, the teachings of the Lord will act as medicine, and they'll prevent a lot of things. The problem with so many today is they get away from the medicine of the Lord's word, and therefore they're likely to get all kinds of spiritual sicknesses, all kinds of spiritual disease, because the word of God is not working as a medicine in their heart. And then notice verse 23, we're to give attention. Again, we said there's several things we're to give attention to. We're to give attention to the heart. He says, keep, that is guard, put a garrison, keep thy heart. Heart referring to our inward thoughts, referring to our affections, referring to the whole inner being. It's who we are. Keep thy heart and do so with all diligence. That is, always make haste to keep your heart. Never put it off. Never make it secondary. But always give all diligence to guard your heart. That word diligence also speaks of perseverance. You have to persevere in this work of keeping the heart, no matter what the circumstance, whether it be a time of joy or whether it be a time of sadness. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. If everything is going right and God just seems to be pouring the blessings down upon you, keep your heart. You cannot afford at any time in your life not to guard your heart. This is something we have to always be doing. We do this, we make haste to do this. And then the next word is for this reason. Here's the reason we're to keep the heart. For out of it, that is, coming out of it, are the issues or are the matters, the overflow of life. In other words, our heart is what controls and gives character to everything that we do. So therefore, keep your heart. Guard your heart. And if we would do this, we wouldn't fall. If we would do this, we would find ourselves always close to God. Keep our heart. This is one of the major failures in the life of a child of God, is the failure to keep the heart. This is why David fell into sin. He failed to keep the heart. This is why you and I fall into sin. This is why we wander from God, is because we fail to keep the heart. And we have to do this at all times. When things are going well, people seem to think they're safe. But you better keep your heart when things are going well. And you better keep your heart when you consider that things aren't going so well. In times of temptation, keep your heart. In times of trial, keep your heart. In times of affliction, keep your heart. That's the main thing. In whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, the main thing is, and our main responsibility is, to keep our hearts. There is no time, there is no condition in our life in which we can take a rest from this work of keeping the heart. In other words, there is no intermission in the work of keeping the heart. And nothing is more important. Nothing's more important. Nothing's more necessary than keeping our hearts. So this is a work that is personal. No one can keep your heart for you. That is a personal work. It's something that you and I must do. It's also a definite work. We see it's also an urgent work. It's always urgent to keep our heart. Do not allow it to wander. Do not allow thoughts to build up. Do not allow assumptions to build up. Keep your heart. It's imperative. It's imperative that we keep the heart. It's a difficult work. It's a difficult work because Satan is going to fight you every step of the way. Because the devil knows that if you fail to keep your heart, he's got you. You're going to fall. You're going to fail. If you do not keep your heart, you will fail. And the devil knows that, and he's going to fight against it. And it's also a worthwhile work. keeping the heart. It'll never be a waste of time. It'll never be in vain. It'll always be worthwhile. So to keep our heart, to guard our heart, means a couple of things. It means that we're to protect our heart. We're to garrison it. We are to strive to shut out everything that is opposed to God. We are to strive to shut out everything that is contrary to the Lord. We must always pay attention to the direction in which our heart is going. Always pay attention to the direction of your thoughts. Always pay attention to the direction of your emotions. Always give attention to these things. And if we would learn to pay attention to the direction of our heart, we would save ourselves a lot of trouble down the road. So many times we ignore the direction of our hearts until we're so far away from God, and then we finally wake up and realize that we've been going in the wrong direction. But we need to always be paying attention, because our heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. So we have to always pay attention to the direction. And as soon as our heart begins to go in the wrong direction, as soon as it gets off the right path, we need to take action. We need to do something right then and there. You can't put it off, because if you put it off, you're going to go further and further and further from God. It must be kept from becoming... The Bible talks about all kinds of conditions of the heart. The Bible talks about a discouraged heart. And when we feel our heart becoming discouraged, that's the time to keep it. Keep that discouragement out. Don't let discouragement in, and then 2-3 weeks down the road, you decide, well, I think I'll deal with this now. Much damage has already been done. Keep the discouragement out. As soon as discouragement makes an attempt to get into your heart, you have to keep it out. Guard your heart. The Bible talks about an obstinate heart. We have to keep our heart from becoming obstinate. And this is a constant battle. This is a constant spiritual battle. No one is above these battles. There isn't anyone that doesn't have to fight these battles. We have to keep our hearts from becoming obstinate. We have to keep our hearts from becoming proud. Again, as we've said many times before, God can't hardly let us succeed in anything without you and I eventually becoming proud about it. So we have to guard our hearts against pride. And that's true of all of us. Some have more problem with pride than others, but pride is an enemy of every single human being. And so we have to guard our heart. We have to garrison our heart against pride. We have to, the Bible talks about a wicked heart. You cannot ignore feeding upon the Word of God and keep your heart. And you cannot keep your heart from becoming wicked. You cannot keep your heart from becoming obstinate if you do not fill it with the Word of God. So keep it from becoming wicked. Keep it from becoming bitter. Bitter. Bitterness will destroy you. Bitterness will destroy you spiritually. It'll destroy you physically. It'll destroy you emotionally. You have to keep your heart from becoming bitter. You have to keep your heart from becoming impenitent. That is an unrepentant heart, where you know there's sin there, but you don't repent of it. You have to keep your heart from becoming that way. You have to keep your heart from covetousness. You have to keep your heart from becoming double. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This is part of keeping the heart, is keeping out that which is contrary to God. To guard the heart also means to keep the heart right. It means that we keep our heart right. We need to get our hearts right, and then we need to keep our hearts right. And the Bible along those lines talks about a willing heart. We ought to be willing. Our hearts ought to be willing to do whatever it is that God would have us to do. We ought to be willing to do that. And we need to keep our heart in a willing condition. We need to keep our heart in a trembling condition, which again, you keep pride out. And you have humility of heart. You keep your heart in a trembling condition, a heart that trembles before the Word of God, a heart that trembles before the presence of God. We have to keep our hearts tender. And again, the way to do that is to stay in the Word. The way to do that is to always be talking to God and always be listening to what God says and always be obeying what God says. You keep your heart tender. A tender heart is a heart that can have an impression made upon it. A tender heart is a heart that has feeling. And so we ought to feel the Word of God. We ought to feel the correction of God. We ought to feel the conviction of God. And as soon as we sin, if we keep our hearts tender, we immediately feel. We feel the pain of that sin. You can go out here and you can kick a rock all day long. You're not going to hurt that rock one bit. You're not going to leave an impression upon that rock. But you kick an individual. You kick flesh. That's soft, and it has feeling. It feels that. And that's how we're to keep our heart. We're to keep it soft. We're to keep our hearts tender. We're to keep our hearts pure. And again, you cannot dwell on impurity and keep your heart pure. If you dwell on impurity, your heart is going to be impure. And it's an impure heart that dwells on impurity. And it's a pure heart that dwells on purity. So we have to keep our hearts pure. We have to keep our hearts clean. That is, we have to keep sin out of our hearts. We have to keep our hearts fixed, determined to do the will of God. We have to keep our hearts meek and lowly, to keep our hearts single, not double, but single with one aim. We have to keep our hearts true. So this is a responsibility that we all have. And wisdom will cause us to realize the importance of the condition of our heart. You and I can go through all the motions. We can serve God by memory. We can worship God by memory. We can do almost everything in Christian service by memory. But the key is to do it with a heart and to do it with a right heart. And the only way we can do that is to keep our hearts. So that this is the first thing that we're to do. We're to keep the heart with all diligence. Verse 24, we're not only to give attention to our heart, but we need to give attention to our mouths as well. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. So he uses two words to describe an improper tongue. That which is froward, that which is perverse, put far from thee. So we're to keep our mouths. We're to watch our tongues. How do we do that? We keep the heart. You keep the heart, and you'll also keep the mouth. But if you don't keep your heart, I don't care how hard you try to keep your mouth is going to say the wrong thing, and it's going to say it at the wrong time. And because you keep the heart, and the mouth takes care of itself. So what is meant here by a froward mouth and perverse lips? Well, that would be vain talk. We're to keep our mouth from vain talk. What's vain talk? Empty talk. Idle talk. Just worthless talk. Talk that has no real purpose. Just talking to fill up the time. Better be careful of vain talk. A lot of foolishness goes on in vain talk. And a lot of times God is blasphemed in vain talk. Backbiting would certainly apply here as well. It would fall under the froward and perverse mouth. Slander, backbiting, slander, hasty words, that is, words without thought. You speak without thinking. That's, again, if you keep your heart, you can prevent that. Irreverent talk. Whether it be irreverence toward about God or irreverence toward the things of God, making light of spiritual things. And again, the best way to guard the mouth is to keep the heart. And you and I need to realize that if our words are right, that's power. There's a lot of power in right words. Right words have great influence. And we need to realize the power and influence of our words. keep your heart, keep your mouth, realizing the power and the influence of your words. Notice in the book of Job, chapter 6. The book of Job, chapter 6, verse 25. How forcible are right words? How forcible are right words? But what doth your arguing reprove? But how forcible are right words? We should always want to speak the right word. We should always want to have the ability to say the right thing and to say it in the right manner. And the best way to have the ability to say the right thing is to keep your heart. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Garrison your heart. And then you'll be able to speak the right thing. Notice in Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 in verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. If someone is speaking wrath to you, you had better keep your heart right then and there. Because if you don't, you are going to return words of wrath. So as soon as someone speaks that which is improper to us, our responsibility, our first responsibility right then and there, is keep my heart. Garrison my heart. Keep all the things I'd like to say right now, keep it out. Keep your heart. A soft answer turneth away wrath. In other words, it shows the force of right words, the power of right words. Then notice in Proverbs 25, Proverbs 25, verse 15, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Again, showing the force, the influence, the power of a right word. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken, that is, a word rightly, correctly spoken, is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. In other words, it's a beautiful thing. We're to guard our mouths, we're to pay attention to our mouth. But how do we do that? We do that by keeping our heart. This will enable us to have power and influence in our speech. Thirdly, we're to give attention. Notice in verse 25. We give attention to the eyes or to our focus. Verse 25 says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. In other words, don't get distracted. And what's the best way to keep from getting distracted? Same thing. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. You keep your heart, you won't lose your focus. What this verse is telling us is to keep our eyes on the straight and narrow. Just keep your eyes on the straight and narrow. Just keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. And again, the best way to do that is to keep our hearts. We have to keep our eyes. We have to be careful. We have to be careful what we look at. We have to be careful what we see. And if we're driving down the road and we see something that we wish we wouldn't have seen, we need to, right then and there, we need to guard our heart. Because whatever we've seen has now entered into our minds, and we'd better guard our heart right then and there so that we do not dwell upon what we've seen. So we're to pay attention to our eyes. And then notice in verse 26, we're to pay attention to our feet. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. The word ponder simply means to reflect, to think upon, to give diligent contemplation and consideration to every single step that you take. In other words, consider every step. Not just consider the path that you're on, but consider
every step. We're to walk circumspectly. That is, before we take the next step, we're to give it some thought. Where is this step? Where is this step going to take me? In what direction am I headed? Pay attention to the direction of your feet. Pay attention to the direction of your walk. Notice in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And verse 133. The psalmist says, order my steps. Now, when you think about a step, that's just part of the walk. Really, the steps are the minute details in our life. And we tend to overlook the minute details. We tend to think, well, the minute details are not that important. But let me tell you something. The minute details add up. And the minute details become something major. So he says, order my steps. Order the minute details of my life. Order my steps in thy word. Pay attention. Pay attention to where you walk. Pay attention to where your steps are taking you. Pay attention to the direction in which you are headed. And again, the best way to do that is the same as all the rest. Keep your heart. You keep your heart and your steps will go in the right direction. But you fail to keep your heart, your steps will go in the wrong direction. And if you fail to keep your heart, you won't even care what direction your steps are going in. You won't even stop and consider what direction your steps are going in. You ask some people, well, why did you do that? Well, I don't know. And really, I suppose there's some truth to that. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. And that's the truth. They weren't paying attention. They weren't paying attention to their heart. They weren't paying attention to the direction of their steps. Wisdom teaches us, pay attention. Pay attention to your mouth. Pay attention to your feet. Pay attention to your eyes. Pay attention. Pay attention to your heart. You cannot neglect these things. You cannot give your attention to the heart of others, to the eyes of others, to the feet of others. You have to take care of yourself, spiritually speaking. You have to take care of yourself. And then lastly, verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. That's what God told Joshua. And what that simply means is you do not make the slightest turn. You do not make the slightest turn off the right path. You do not make the slightest turn toward evil. And if you find yourself headed toward evil, then we see the next instruction is, remove thy foot from evil. Remove thy foot from evil. This backs up to what was said in verses 14 and verse 15. Same teaching. Remove thy foot from evil. What this verse is teaching us is shun evil. A wise person does not play with sin. A wise person does not fool around with sin. A wise person does not get as close as they can to sin. A wise person doesn't look for loopholes. A wise person shuns evil. A wise person stays as far away from it as possible. That is wisdom. That is wisdom. Now the world, if you do that, will consider you a fool. But it is the fool that plays with hot coals. It is the fool that plays with sin. It is the fool that goes in the direction of sin. It is the wise person that shuns evil. So if we obtain wisdom, we will shun evil. And this is such a simple truth. And it's something that you would be, it's good to learn very, very young in our life. Shun evil. It's something we need to ingrain within little minds. Shun evil. Stay away from it. Stay as far from it as you possibly can. Don't go near it. No matter who else is going near it, no matter what else is going on, you stay away. And if you stay away from the pit, you cannot fall in the pit. But you start dancing around it, you're in danger. You're in danger. Job chapter 28, verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Now that's what Solomon has told us in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's what we're reading here also. Notice, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And fear of the Lord is reverence of God. Reverence of God will cause you to stay away from sin. It is irreverence of God that will cause you to play with sin. And to depart from evil is understanding. Again, I hear it all the time, Brother Dan, you don't understand. To depart from evil is understanding. You play with sin, you're the one that doesn't understand. You're the one that doesn't understand. If you refuse to depart from evil, if you refuse to get away from that thing, you are the one that lacks understanding. You are the one that lacks wisdom. To depart from evil, that is understanding. Just like the fear of the Lord is wisdom. To depart from the Lord, to depart from evil is understanding. Then notice in Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Verse 14, depart from evil. Depart from evil. Is there anything that you and I do not understand about that? Depart from evil. That means exactly what it says. And do good. Seek peace. Don't seek evil, seek peace. Don't pursue evil, pursue peace. Pursue the things that lead to peace. And what leads to peace is not evil. What leads to peace is righteousness. Then notice in Psalm 97. Psalm 97. Verse 10. Psalm 97. Verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Hate it. Hate it enough. How much am I to hate it? You're to hate it enough to depart from it. Hate it enough not to want to be near it. Hate evil. If you do not depart from it, it's because you like it. If you do not stay away from it, it is because you see something there that attracts you. Hate evil. And if you hate it, you will stay away from it. So we have to hate evil. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. And again, that may raise the question, what is evil? Well, what is evil? Well, evil is anything contrary to God. Anything contrary to God's word is evil. It doesn't matter your definition. It doesn't matter my definition of evil. If it's contrary to God, it's evil. It's wicked. And we're to depart from it. We're to stay away from it. It doesn't matter what society's doing. If it's contrary to God, we're to stay away from it. It doesn't matter if the majority of people are doing it. If it's contrary to God, it's sin, it's evil, it's wicked, it's vile, and we're to depart from it. We're to stay away from it. It's very simple. Very simple. So again, we just have to realize it's not for you and I to define evil. Evil's already been defined. You don't have to define it. God has already defined it. In Proverbs 14 and verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. You and I ought to be afraid of evil. We ought to be afraid of sin. And if anyone has any idea of what sin can do in your life, if you have any wisdom at all, you'll be afraid of it. Afraid of it to the point where you depart from it. Afraid of it to the point where you stay away from it. So a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. That is, the fool plays with evil because he's confident, he's self-confident. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to happen to me. That's a fool. That's a fool. People don't get into sin thinking, oh, I can't wait to do this. This is going to ruin my life. They don't think it's going to happen to them. And they're fools. A fool rageth and is confident. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and the 9th verse. It says, a poor, again, hate it, a poor that which is evil, that goes against everything that society is being taught today. Because what we're having rammed down our throats today is that you have to be tolerant, that you have to be accepting, that you have to be embracing of everything. But the Bible says, abhor evil. You hate it. You hate it because it's contrary to God. You hate it because of what it does to mankind. Hate evil. None of us hate sin like we ought to. None of us have ever hated sin like we ought to. But there has to be a hatred for sin. And then lastly, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Let him eschew, which means abstain from evil, refrain from evil, renounce evil, reject evil. Let him eschew evil and do good. Wisdom will teach us to do all of these things. And the key to guarding the mouth, the key to guarding our eyes, the key to guarding our feet, the key to shunning evil is keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Do not ever neglect the condition of your heart. Examine it every day. Examine it many times every day. Make sure that you take care of it all through the day. And if you do that, again, we all sin, we all stumble. But if you are always keeping your heart, you'll never get too far away. You'll always come back. Because if you're keeping your heart like you're supposed to, as soon as you sin, you feel convicted about it. You know what's bad? Is when you sin and you do not feel guilty and you do not feel convicted. That's when you'd better fall on your face right then and there and get right with God. But people today, they use that to justify. They say, well, if it was wrong, God would have convicted me. Turn that around. Had you not hardened your heart to such a point, you would have been convicted. But don't you see, if what is wrong does not convict us, it's just, it's a sign. It shows us, it manifests that we have failed to keep our hearts, that our hearts are growing cold, that our hearts are becoming seared as with a hot iron. And that's what's happened today. People have no conscience because they do not guard their heart. And that's why today you can look in the Word of God. You can see plain as it's in black and white. This is right. This is wrong. And people will say, well, I don't see what's wrong with that. And the truth is that that's true. They don't see what's wrong with it. And it's because they failed to keep their heart. It's because their heart is hard. Their heart is hard. I get tired when people say, well, show me where that's wrong. You ought to know it's wrong. You ought to know. And just a testimony how bad of a condition you've gotten yourself into if somebody has got to show you all over again why it's wrong. Because it says it in black and white. It's wrong. We don't need an explanation. We just need to obey. So keep your heart. No matter what your condition, no matter what your circumstances are, realize that it's your responsibility to keep your heart. It's the responsibility of every member of this church to keep their heart. For the sake of this body of Christ, we are to keep our own individual hearts. If we all fail to keep our hearts, you won't have a church. You won't believe anything. And you'll tolerate everything. You better thank God for some who keep their hearts. Because that's what keeps people sound. That's what keeps them steadfast. Keep your heart. Because there's all kinds of people today that want us to give in to everything. You'd better keep your heart. Keep your heart. So that's the lesson tonight. Keep your heart with all diligence. Everything else will pretty much take care of itself if you do that. Brother Mark, if you